wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to the Gridiron, guys. It's Zach joining you today. Unfortunately, Cam's away, but joining me for a special guest interview is Jack Brooks, the punter from South Alabama Jaguars. How are you going today, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Been a good day so far, so yeah.
Yeah, easy done. So I think I was having sort of a peruse through your info and your Insta and stuff like that. You're a Wagga boy, is that correct?
Yeah, Wagga boy, born and bred up through Wagga.
Yeah, so, and again, looking at, you know, you look through your Insta and you look like a big AFL guy. Growing up, did you ever have like an eye on American football or college football, or was it something that you sort of, you know, found when you're a bit older?
Yeah, it was sort of, I found it when I was a bit older. I remember watching like some Super Bowls when I was younger, you know, with Tom Brady, with the Patriots, who always seemed to be in it. But it wasn't really, yeah, until... I didn't, you know, go through with AFL properly. I didn't get to the draft camp or anything like that. So once that sort of went through, I sort of was, you know, just playing football enjoyably for a while. But then, this come up and I just realized, yeah, I want to do something else and something exciting like this.
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah, speaking of your footy career, I, again, had a look. Looks like you played for a few good country teams out there, like Albury Tigers and Turvey Park. Is that right?
Yeah. So I played with them and, you know, growing up, I played, like, with the New South Wales Rams team.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in with the Murray Bush Rangers in the TAC Cup.
Oh, yeah, right.
In under 18, so... but yeah, I had a few injuries when I was 18 there. So that sort of set me back that first half of the season. But, you know, that was enjoyable, all that. I loved it because, you know, growing up in Australia, it's either AFL or rugby, really. And AFL was the sport I always wanted to play.
Yeah, well, I know I spent some, I recently just moved back from, I was living down in Albury and Wagga Way. So, and like, it's it's just footy mad, isn't it? Like, it's so much. I just live and breathe that country footy down there.
Yeah, country footy. It's a good standard too, especially the Ovens and Murray. They, you know, they pick up some good ex-AFL players from there, which makes the competition good.
Yeah, no, I was recently playing for North Albury, actually, so I certainly got a few pace things Albury Tigers and that lot. So And it just makes you look like, I remember you just thinking, you're like, fuck, if these guys are that good and they're the ones that aren't even making sort of like VFL and AFL, how good's the next standard like?
Yeah, so it's good to, at least you get to play a few games against them. But, yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, it's a totally different standard. You're like, well, it's hard.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean... Look, playing footy, did you always have like a bit of a booming boot? Is that how you sort of looked at it? And like, did maybe someone sort of scout you from it? How'd you get involved with the punting?
I think it was more, it wasn't like as if I had like a massive kick, but I always worked on my kicking. I prided myself on my skills.
Yeah.
I felt as though I was pretty accurate, you know, and through punting, I feel once I developed, I went in the program at Pro Kick Australia.
Yeah.
So they helped me develop into like getting a bit more distance and hang time on the ball. But yeah, I think my skills in football, that was just what I tried to pride myself on the most. I think that was where I developed kicking from.
Yeah, easy done. And I mean, how did you find sort of like the transition to punting? Because it's not, you know, we've sort of had a chat with like Chappie and a few other boys. And, you know, it's not just about booting a torp up in the air, is it? Like there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, it gets pretty technical. You just think it would be really simple, but there's a bit more to it. Like with, you know, like the way you drop the ball, where you're striking it, the angle of the ball and, you know, so there's always stuff to it. And I think, you know, you can never be perfect with it, but you just try and get as best you can at sort of what your kicking style is to make it easier for you to transition.
Yeah. So, I mean, how were the early days of the pro kick? Did you have to make the move down to Melbourne and essentially like just sort of back yourself to get in, or were you able to sort of do trips every now and again?
Yeah. So what I done was I went down for an assessment with pro kick. And that was, I think that was 2017, sort of after football season. It might have been like in like October. Yeah. And I just went there for an assessment, and Chappie put me through the paces just to see what I could do. And he was happy with what I could do, and he felt as though he could work with me. So then it was sort of a quick turnaround, and then it was probably only two months later that I moved down to Melbourne. It was just easier to be there the whole time because, you know, they're basically training like every day some sort with either kicking or the gym. So I thought, you know, to get, if I'm going to do it properly and move down to Melbourne. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, sweet as. And I mean, look, before you went over and did all the signing and things like that, you know, did you get a chance to sort of tour any schools or like you get over to America before you actually, you know, made the commitment to the Jags?
Yeah, so we went over. Usually Pro Kick will do a like yearly trip. Once a year they'll go. And we went over in July of that year, that first season, I was sort of with Pro Kick, so sort of 6-7 months, and we got to tour a lot of the schools, and I actually had a kick, a punt in front of South Alabama, all the coaching staff there at the time because they were interested, so they sort of put me through like a little trial and assessment, and straight after I finished my punting, they offered me a scholarship, so I was you know, very fortunate enough to be on the trip and got to experience that. And I got to see, you know, they showed me around the facilities after that. So I sort of got a felt for what I was going to, you know, get myself into for the next 4 or 5 years.
Oh, really? Geez, that's pretty handy. So it's not like you had to go out and sort of, you know, send out highlight tapes or anything. You know, you were just sort of able to show them your stuff and they were pretty happy with it.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure like Johnny and Chappie, they were sending some film to them, but, you know, a lot of coaches do like, especially if we can get over to the States, you know, on these trips, the coaches really do like just to see us in person and how we kick. So, you know, yeah, it just worked out nicely for me.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I mean, so there wasn't sort of any, you didn't have to look at any other offers. Like did anything sort of stand out of the Jaguars? It was just that it was just, yeah, it just really worked out for you.
Yeah. Well, before that I was actually supposed to be going to Houston. But Dane Roy actually picked up, he was the punter at the time there, and he picked up another year of eligibility, and I was already 25, I think then 25 or 26, so I wasn't getting any younger, and you know, obviously I wanted to try and play as, you know, straight away. So Johnny and Chappie thought, you know, South was the next best, obviously because they were interested, and I got the kick there, and you know, it just fell into place with them. So I was like, yeah, I just took it on board. But their facilities are great here, especially with the new indoor they've got as well. So, and the new stadium they've built the last couple of years. So it's, yeah, it's worked out well.
Yeah, it's pretty sick, isn't it? I mean, you see some of those college facilities and they almost dwarf some of like the pro facilities over here for like the AFL teams and that, don't they?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, obviously, our school isn't like the biggest. You know, you've got like Alabama, you've got LSU, those massive schools. But for our school as well, you know, like for the Sun Belt, like I feel this is the best, you know, facilities in the Sun Belt, especially, and you know, even in the nation. It's just crazy how much money they'll spend on facilities and everything like that. It's unreal to be in like every day.
Yeah. And I suppose you sort of talked about coming in and starting. How was it? And I suppose this is probably like a bit of a funny thing with the pro kick, but like coming in as a freshman, and I don't know if you'd played, you know, a proper game before, but probably like your first game coming in, and it's, you know, a college football level. How was that?
Yeah, that was pretty scary and nerve-wracking first up, because my first game, it was out of conference, and we played went and played Nebraska in front of 90,000. So I didn't get a little warm up or anything with, you know, just a ease in game. So, but that was like, that was really fun though. Like once I got that first punt, you know, like out of the way and the nerves sort of come down a bit, then it was really enjoyable experience and, you know, something that you've worked up to through pro kick. So I enjoyed that for sure. And, you know, I still think about that and just how loud it was in there. Yeah. Like, you know, basically like an AFL grand final. So, yeah, it was good. It was great.
Yeah, and I suppose looking at your first year at South Alabama, not an overly successful one. You guys went 2-10. And I suppose so you punted a lot because of that. How did you sort of find that? You know, did it give you the confidence to show you that you belonged here in college football, or did it, you know, did it kind of light that fire in you to show you what it takes to be successful and work up to that next level?
Yeah, I think it did. Like I, you know, even though I wasn't happy with just the two wins and 10 losses, but it got me to actually be able to experience a lot of the punting, you know, because I hadn't played before. So I think I had like 70 punts that year or something in 12 games. So I was getting a workout. But it really helped me try, you know, like trying to develop. And yeah, because it was just that next level. I was sort of just trying to find my feet, but you knew that there was still a lot of work to do to try and get up to, you know, really successful being a punter. And, you know, it's not as easy as what, you know, people might think it is. But yeah, I did like that I got a lot of punts, because, you know, you don't really want to be sitting on the sideline not playing, not getting the game time. But, you know, South, you know, they don't really want me out there punting, because obviously the quarterbacks and stuff aren't scoring. So, but yeah, I'll take it anytime I can.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a bit of a trial by fire. And then, so that was your first season. And then you go into 2022. I mean, that's a COVID year. Everything was sort of turned on its head. I assume, like, normally it's tough being away from family and friends regularly, but to even have that opportunity to go home taken away must have been, you know, something else. Did that, how'd you go through that season? Did that ever sort of like weigh on you, or was the school sort of really good at supporting you guys that was sort of cut off from everything?
Yeah, it was tough, like, especially because you just, with COVID, like, you didn't know when, you know, when it was going to end, and, you know, you just heard everything like shutting down. So it was a tough season. I feel like my average was the worst I had then. It was 41 point something, so like it dropped a little bit then. But it was just one of those seasons where you didn't even know if you were going to play some weeks, because people were, you know, too many had COVID. So, you know, it was tough, because I was like, oh, I wonder when I can go home for break next or whatever. And it wasn't actually for 2 years, actually, after my 2021 season, I got to be back for Christmas then. So it was, it got tough, but, you know, we had good support through the football, and, you know, like I got some really good mates here. My ex-girlfriend at the time, I stayed with them over Christmas and stuff. So I was getting really, you know, looked after still while I was here. So I'm grateful for everybody that helped me during that period.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, hey? And I suppose, like, did it sort of impact training much? Like, I suppose, you know, with yourself, you can sort of, you're pretty mobile, but like to do sort of team stuff and things like that, that would have made an impact, I'm sure.
Yeah, like especially in the weight room, you know, they'd want us to be wearing masks and and it's already sweaty enough in there. You can't breathe properly, and they're trying to do that to us. And you know, and then you had to be in smaller groups training because they didn't want everybody together. And so it was just, you know, and I sort of, because I only got to South in like the fall of 2019. So I didn't actually go through all the stuff before that, like spring ball and everything like that. So it was my first time going through all that, but it was through COVID. So it was just all backwards. It was weird.
Far out. Yeah, that certainly puts you through the ringer. I suppose, yeah, then looking at, I mean, 2021, you guys had 5 wins, but you look to your fourth year, the season just passed, and you guys basically go 2 losses, third if you include the bowl. And you look, and those losses were pretty tight. I mean, 32-31 to UCLA and then 10-6 to Troy. Did you guys sort of know you were going to be that dominant this year?
There felt as though there was a build-up. Like our special our head coach, Kane Womack, you know, he said it from the word go, especially in 2021 when he started. Like, he's really set the standard for us and everything. So I felt as though we've just built from that. And yeah, like I felt as though 2022 was going to be like a even better season for us. Obviously, you know, some of those games are, you know, I feel as though we should have been 12-0, especially, you know, throughout the regular season, like the UCLA game only come down to sort of that fake field goal. And then Troy, which we've been unlucky with them over the years, but I felt as though that was just our game, you know, we should have won. It was just a real scrappy game between both sides. So, but yeah, we were very happy with the season. And obviously it was just a bowl game that we were disappointed in. You know, that wasn't our standard that we'd played at throughout the year. So, yeah, that's what we're looking to build off this season and hopefully go even better. So,
how'd you find the bowl experience? Like, because obviously it's kind of like a final, but then also you get to sort of go away. And I think, was it you guys went to New Orleans? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, playing against Western Kentucky and another friend of the show, Tommy Ellard.
Yeah. So met up with him there. Especially after the game too. So we had a few drinks there together on Bourbon Street. So that was pretty fun. But yeah, it was unreal. Like I'd never been in a bowl game before through the other years at South. So it was a good experience just to see what it was like. You know, we got to play in the Superdome where the Saints play. So that was unreal, especially, you know, for me and Tommy, because we didn't have to worry about wind or anything in there. So it was 9-1. But yeah, like I loved every minute of it. Just, you know, just how hyped it was all. And yeah, definitely, you know, hungry to get back to another bowl game sometime.
Yeah. So, and I mean, so through your 4 years, have there been any sort of places or, you know, teams you've played against or anywhere that sort of stood out to you? Like any, or do you have any away trips that you've now got circled on the calendar these days?
Maybe UCLA was really fun just because we got there in LA a couple of days before. So they sort of just let us look around and stuff. So I think that would be nice to head back there for a little bit. But, you know, a lot of the places we go to as well, like we don't really get to see much just because we fly in the day before, like in the afternoon, and, you know, we're straight to the hotel and stuff like that. So you only get to see a little bit on the bus, but yeah, you know, I think UCLA was the biggest trip for us. And, yeah, that was really enjoyable just because we got there a couple of days before. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that'll be a good one. And I suppose, like, that stadium looks unreal, doesn't it, the Coliseum?
Yeah, that was great playing in there. You know, obviously it wasn't full. UCLA have had a bit of trouble with their fans, especially this year, getting them to the game. But, you know, it was still just a great atmosphere playing in there because there's a lot of history and everything in there. So it's good.
How do the South Alabama fans travel? Like, obviously, you probably have good support at home, but how do they go around on the away trips?
Yeah, they're actually not too bad because, you know, like if we go to Louisiana, you know, even when we've gone to Texas State, played there, you know, there's always a section off for South fans, but a lot of the you know, the boys' families, a lot of them will travel to all the games. So we don't have we have a pretty good support system through the each game, I feel, like away games.
Yeah, good student section too.
Yeah, student section at home is nice. it's good because it's nice being at home because you don't get abused, like, you know, when you go away for the trips, because student sections are just India the whole time. And so, yeah, it's always enjoyable playing at home so you don't have to hear all that all the time.
Have you ever...
They can be quite cool.
I was going to say, have you ever gotten much stick for being an Aussie or, you know, something like that?
I've got a lot with being Australian, my age, like I'm 29. So they're always asking me, you know, go home to the kids or something like that. I don't even have kids, but they're always saying stuff like that. They're telling me to give the game up because I'm too old. I shouldn't even be playing. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of other things, but I'm not going to say. It's too much. I enjoy it though. It is funny. Like, I just laugh about it because you can't take those things too seriously. You know, they're there and having a good time and having a lot of drinks. So yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah. Does your own locker room, did they sort of, I suppose being from Australia, are you the only one from outside of the US in your team?
There's a few from Canada. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, got a few boys from there. But other than that,
Yeah, were they pretty sort of good to be around and things like that? Although they weren't sort of asking too much about like barbecues and Stevie Irwin and that?
Yeah, they will do that. Everybody that sees me always go, how you going, mate? They're always like, hey, mate. They always say that one. But it is funny to be around because, I literally can say anything in there and they'll just start laughing. just at the accent, it gets them every time, and they're like, some of them don't even understand me. So it's pretty funny. I enjoy it, and they stir each other up, so that's what we're there for. It's always a good time.
Yeah, good locker room vibes. I suppose what's the plan going forward? You know, you've done 4 years now. I assume you've got another year of eligibility because of the COVID. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking to go through. Is this year coming up your final year at South Alabama?
Yeah. So this is my final one. I'm not putting too much, stress on myself about it. I sort of see how it goes. I would love to play at the next level. It just depends on opportunities there. And, obviously got to be good enough at the next level. So if something popped up, obviously I'd grab it and take it. So I'm just going to see how I punt this season. Just really want to enjoy it because I feel as though I'm playing my best and, punt my best when I'm just enjoying it, having a good time. So, but... if it didn't work out with football after that, I'm going to head back home. I want to get into with my degree that I'm going to get in May, sports management. So I'd like to be a player agent back in Australia. For AFL players, rugby players, anyone, any athletes. So that's sort of what I'll be looking at getting into once I get back.
Yeah. And I suppose talking about your degree, how have you found sort of managing that? Because at the end of the day, you are still like a student athlete. It's not all just about the football. Like there is that whole other side of having to do a uni degree as well.
Yeah. It's first up, it was really tough just because especially just the workloads, trying to balance it out. With football and study and, getting your assignments and doing tests and stuff. You know, I sort of, when I was through high school, you know, I feel as though I enjoyed high school more than I probably should have. I didn't concentrate on my work as much. So I just think my attention span probably was not great then. So I really had to work on, you know, doing all my work, because obviously if we can't, if we're not passing, you know, we can't play. So we've got to keep a certain GPA. So, but over time now, I've find it a lot easier to do my work and actually enjoying it more, because it's something that I want to do after I finish football. So, but it's really just about finding that balance.
Yeah, it would be. And I know, like, not to draw many comparisons, but like I always struggle when I was at uni and just playing country footy. Like sometimes you live in the uni life and then you're trying to go to footy training and things like that. And it's just, it's a tough balance.
Yeah, it's hard to try and get it down pat. One week you're like, I'll try and focus this week. And then a few weeks go by and you're still trying to get the work done.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Well, and I suppose especially like with your guys' schedule, like it's essentially like almost a pro sport, just without obviously the money side of it. But you guys would be in the facility pretty much every day training.
Yeah, so we're a morning training team, so we'll practice in the morning. So we're usually up there by like 6 a.m. Each day, either lifting or with actual practice once we start, like spring ball and, you know, during season. But that's it, you know, so it's then you sort of get the afternoons to do your schoolwork. And then, you know, you just try to find that balance, because, you know, sometimes you don't want to do the schoolwork because you're tired or something, but it's got to be done. There's an assignment due that night. So, you know, it's just trying to stay on top of it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So I suppose looking forward for you did mention you've sort of started a bit of work again for pre-season. But going forward next year to next season, anyone from the Jaguars we should be sort of keeping our eyes on?
Our place kicker actually, Diego Guajardo, he had a great season last year. So I feel as though he's going to have a, you know, even better season. He was one of the semi-finalists for the Lou Groser Award, which is one of the best kickers in the nation.
Yeah.
So I hold for him. So I get to see the show from him straight there on the field. So I feel as though he's going to have a great season. You know, we've got Keith Goldman, who's one of our defenders. If you'd like to say, he's back from injury. You know, he was standing out previous years before that. This is his last season as well. You know, we've got our quarterback, Carter Bradley. He's got one more season. So we're hoping, you know, he's going to be even bigger and better to lead us forward. The other one I would say is LaDamian Webb, who's our running back. He is insane. He's an animal, just a bull, just going through them all the time. I don't know how he gets through all those gaps and everything like that, but he's just running and there's like five blokes on top of him and he's still running. But he's a massive one, I feel, I feel as though he could really get drafted.
Far out. It'd be wild to see those sort of guys go to work. I mean, did you ever sort of get tempted to, you know, obviously with the Aussie rules background, did you ever get tempted to be like, hey, I can catch a footy or run it? Did you ever mention that to the coaches?
Sometimes, but then now, seeing how big some of them are, I'm like, oh, I'll just leave the other boys to do it. So, you know, they're just big. They're just huge. I just can't believe how big they are. Like, especially the boys at the front, like the O-line, they are huge. Like if they fall on you, I'd probably be dead. That'd be it.
No, it's a whole nother world. But look, thanks, Jack, for chatting. It's been really enjoyable to have you on. I think we'll probably wrap it up there so I don't keep you for too long. But, yeah, look, again, we'll be looking forward to seeing you go out this year and really excited for what holds ahead for you.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, mate. We'll, easy done. Catch ya.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.